preparation for the message, and holiday sales, retail sales, passed $1 trillion last year. That's 12 zeros after that one. The average household spends about $1,500 on gifts, and it's expected, even with all the people out of work and stuff, it's expected to be about the same thing. It's expected to be about the same thing this year. Parents like to give good gifts to their children. I had to smile when I read Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. It does say that. It says, if then, being evil, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Parents want to give good gifts to their children. God has given us a good gift, the best gift. You know, at Christmas time, I used to be able to tell it was Christmas time because it's only at Christmas time that you would hear the advertisement for Chia Pets. Yeah, and remember that? Now, I haven't seen it as much this year, but another one that used to always come that just, you knew it was Christmas time because it was the salad shooter. Remember that? The salad shooter. There's so many of them now. I don't know. I can't figure it out, but one of the biggest ones, I've seen it all the time. They're all jumping on the bandwagon a husband's getting their wives new cars. You ain't getting one, hon. But anyway, I don't know what kind of money they have, but nonetheless, I think that that's a lot of wishful thinking myself. But you know, I don't know. I like to buy modest and good gifts for my children, for my grandchildren, but our family does it somewhat differently. I'm trying to think if I purchased anything for the family that I've seen on a television commercial. I mean, there's Kohl's commercials and that sort of things. But you see, Lynn and I like to find out. We like to be the investigators. We like to find out what the kids need. Don't buy a lot of junk stuff. They find out what they need and perhaps what they want. But so many of the gifts that you buy don't last. I mean, you buy toys and they break. You buy clothes. I'm looking at my grandkids. You buy clothes and they outgrow them. And so guess what? Most of our grandkids, you're getting clothes whether you like it or not, you know, whatever. Though Grandpa had a rough time going past the Nerf guns. I wanted a Nerf war, but one of the things that I do enjoy, because we still gather together at my house on Christmas Day, and the house is packed. By the time you got 3 children, 13 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren, I mean, the house is packed there. But one of the things that I enjoy is watching the smile on the faces of the grandkids when they open up their stuff. But I'd like you to think for a minute. I'm not going to be talking about all temporal gifts, but what motivates you to give? I really want you to think about that for a moment. Some people give out of love. Fact is that some people give out of habit. And I think too often people give out of competition. You know, they're competing with, or some give out of guilt, and some just don't give at all. They don't do anything for Christmas. Well, you can figure that out for yourself, but I would trust that it's not out of guilt or it's not out of a competitive spirit, but it's because you want to. Because you want to. Now, I want to shift the focus a little bit in a different direction from the temporal things to the spiritual things. And the passage of Scripture that got me thinking about this message, of course, is 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, and you know this by heart, but I really want you to ponder it. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Regardless of how much you're giving, you can't give like God gives. He gave us an unspeakable gift, and we don't use that word unspeakable much at all today, but actually the word means you're not adequately able to describe it in words. The gift that God gave us in his Son, as we've been reading through the Scripture and as we've been working our way through John, as we've been working our way through Exodus and considering all of the tabernacle stuff and how Jesus Christ fulfills all that things, the depth, the breadth of what God has given us in his Son, it's difficult for me to get my head around it, and I'm just thankful for it, because you know what? We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it at all. A man cannot approach the gift that God gave in giving his Son to die. And I do want you to think about it as we come to the Lord's table for a moment, because we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about it. Jesus left the glories of heaven. He left the riches of heaven. He left the fellowship with his Father, and he came down to be a missionary for the world, and he came not only to live, but to give his life for you and for me. He came to be brutally killed in order that you and I might have eternal life. He made himself the sacrifice for our sins. Now, I have a difficult time understanding the attitude of Christ, except the fact he was God. He was sinless. He was undefiled. He didn't know sin. He did know sin. But again, I have a tough time grasping in my mind his attitude about all this. And you say, well, what are you talking about, his attitude? Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 2, it says, who for the joy, now think about that, who for the joy that was set before him. Whoa! The joy. I tried to separate that in my mind. Why was he joyful considering what he was going to face? Well, I think from studying what Lynn and I have been studying, is the key thing was he did his Father's will. He knew the mission that God sent him on, to die for our sins, to be buried, and thankfully to rise again from the dead. But I did your will completely, God. But I also think he did it for the joy, because he loved us and did not want us to go to a Christless eternity in hell. Now, I know that there's a lot of people who don't want to face this, but the fact of the matter is, if you do not have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it isn't going to matter one whit if you're Baptist, if you're Catholic, if you're Lutheran, if you're Presbyterian, if you're Mormon, if you're an atheist, if you're Islamic, it isn't going to matter one whit, because you're going to hell. You say, well, preacher, how can a loving God send anybody to hell? Hold the phone. Just a minute. Where did you get that idea? For God so loved the world that he gave. He saw our plight. He saw my plight. And so he planned the rescue mission that we do not have to go to hell. But if you just sit there and do nothing, or if you just sit there and meditate only on the baby Jesus and not what his purpose was, you will go to hell because, and say it with me, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I am not talking about an intellectual belief. Oh, yeah, Jesus Christ was born as a babe in a manger. No. I'm talking about you acknowledge that Jesus, that you're a sinner, Jesus Christ died for your sins, he was buried and he rose again from the dead, and you must personally call upon his name and be saved. That's it. You can have all the intellectual understanding about Jesus Christ you want, but if you have not personalized it, if you have not called upon the name of the Lord who paid for your sins and asked him to come into your life, forgive your sins, save your soul, and make you into the person that he wants you to be, then you ain't got it yet. And I know the English is bad. You do not have it unless you accept the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ, eternal life through him. You know, Christ's attitude for the joy that was set before him. Don't bring Christ down to the lowly level. I know he was the God-man, but he's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his name is above every name, my friends. Every name that there is. Now, most of us in here have chosen to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, recognize that he is the sovereign and that he is supposed to be the supreme on the seat of our life. But every knee one day is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And you know what? It's either now or it'll be at the great white throne of judgment for the lost. Aren't you glad you can do it now? Thank you, Lord. I'm thinking about now the wonderful gifts that the wise men gave in Matthew chapter 2. You don't need to turn there. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And by the way, any portrayal of the wise men in Bethlehem at the site of the manger with Jesus Christ being a baby is not accurate. Mary and Joseph and young Jesus was in a house when the wise men came. If you remember, Herod was looking and killed all the children 2 years old and down. So it could have been a time from birth up to 2 years. And Herod went into Bethlehem, a roundabout area, and killed all the children because he didn't want anybody in competition with him for the king of the Jews. And so, you know what happened? I believe, though it is extra-biblical, but you know why Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus, you know why the wise men brought to baby Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Because they fled into Egypt, where he wouldn't have been able to practice his trade. So you know what they used to sustain them during that time? It is my speculation that it was the gold. And frankincense and myrrh were very costly at the same time. So God had made his provision. But going back to the title of the message, what are the best gifts of Christmas? What are the best gifts of Christmas? Well, the best gifts of Christmas are free. The best gifts of Christmas are free. What would happen if you woke up on Christmas morning and you all ran down and gathered around the Christmas tree, if you have one, and then you're presented with a register receipt showing you how much the gifts cost, and you were not allowed to open the gifts until you either gave them the cash or a check, you would say, "That's completely insane!" Wouldn't you think that? Yeah, I would. Gifts are to be free. It isn't that they didn't cost something. It cost somebody something. But gifts are to be free. And you'd be right. However, you know, the best gifts are free, but I am amazed at how many people there are who still think that they have to pay for their salvation by religious exercises, by good works, or doing bold things. And gifts, the gift of God, which is eternal life and heaven, you can't work to get it. They are what? Free. You cannot buy God's gift. I like Acts chapter 8 and verse 20. Peter said unto them, now look at this, or said unto him, excuse me, thy money perish with thee. Now look at this. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. If you're thinking that you have to do religious works, or you have to be good, or you have to earn your salvation, thy money, thy good works perish with thee, because you can't purchase a gift. You don't deserve it, but as Paul laid out salvation in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, say it with me, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation cannot be of works, because the work of salvation has already been completed on the cross. This is the work that God does for us. It is a finished work. You can't add to it. You dare not take anything from it. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. A little bit of a lengthy portion, but Hebrews chapter 10. And in verses 1 through 14, and let's follow along as I read that to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 14, it says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, which those things sacrifice, the previous sacrifices under the law, it says, which they offered year by year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. Now watch this. All the people who think that they can earn their salvation by good works, that's their sacrifice. But it says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away any sin. It says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, this is Jesus, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldst not. But look at this. This is why Jesus had a body and was the Son of Man. But a body thou hast prepared me. Now follow along. There's a parenthetical statement in there, and then we'll get to verse 10. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, that thou had no pleasure. God didn't appreciate those things. It says, then said I, lo, Jesus said this, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. See, Old Testament, the Jews couldn't see that Jesus Christ was the coming Messiah. Lynn and I are going in John, and they're saying, No Messiah comes out of Galilee. Well, they didn't do their research because he was born in Bethlehem. He lived in Galilee, but I don't live in the city wherein I was born either. But anyway, as we move along here, it says, verse 7, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." It says, "Above which he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first." You know what that is? The Old Testament. The old offerings. Look at. "And he established the second." Look at verse 10. Here it is. Remember in verse 5, he was given a body. It says, "By the which will we are sanctified." By the will of God, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And the next word is what? Once. You don't need the Mass, which is a re-crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Once. And you say, well, you missed the for all. But you see, that's in italics. It's saying Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary how many times? Once. And let's move on, because we're going to verse 14. "And every priest standeth daily ministering, a daily ministry and offering oft times the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins." It just covered them until the once for all offering, okay? It says, "But this man," who's this man? It's Jesus Christ. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin," what's the next two words? "Forever sat down on the right hand of God, and from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool," be made his footstool, "for by," here it is, "one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified," those who have trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We can't add anything. We dare not take anything away from what Jesus Christ was done. And as we'll talk about in the evening service this evening, when Jesus Christ died, the veil of the temple, by the way, the veil of the temple, it says in the historical writings that the veil of the temple was 4 fingers wide. So it isn't like, oh, we don't have a curtain up there anymore. It isn't like a little curtain up there that I could take off and go. A 4 fingers wide curtain into the Holy of Holy place. When Jesus Christ said, "Tetelestai," paid in full, it is finished. The veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom, and the way of God was open. There is no more need for earthly sacrifices. One sacrifice, the Lamb of God, has finished the great work of salvation. God did it all. He did it by his grace. The best gifts are, in one commercial that does stick in my head, free, 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 free. So the best gifts are what? Free. The second one, the best gifts last. I was going to get into the garage and get my Craftsman toolbox, but I thought, I'm not going to carry that old thing. My dad and my mom, when I graduated from high school, they bought me a set of Craftsman tools. That's the best gift I ever got because it's a gift that lasts. When I broke a socket, you know, you used to be able to, can't go into Sears now, but you used to be able to go in and they would give you a brand new socket. And so I still have those tools today. And they've been so helpful that it's the best gift. It has lasted. In fact, it made such an impression on my mind that I bought my son Steve a set of Craftsman tools when he graduated. And then I bought my grandson Keith a set of Craftsman tools when he graduated. Andrew a set of Craftsman tools when he graduated. Tim a set of Craftsman tool when he graduated. And if I live long enough, grandsons, guess what you're getting when you graduate from high school? A set of Craftsman tools. Why? They lasted and were very helpful to me through my entire life. While a tool set from my parents lasted 53 years, nothing lasts like the gifts of God. You're going to be surprised, but I actually want you to turn to Ecclesiastes or look at your notes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, I know that, no, look at this. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. When God does something, it doesn't matter what man does. It is eternal. All I'm saying is that the best gifts last. I have salvation in Christ Jesus by the gift of God. In John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Believers are secure and will never, 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 never perish. John 10:27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now look at verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no, and then italics, man, nothing, anything. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, the best gifts last. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As we celebrate the Christmas season, the greatest gift wasn't placed under a tree, but he was hung on a tree. Summary, best gifts are personal. Christ died for your sins. That's personal. And you must personally invite him to come into your life, forgive your sins, and save your soul. The best gifts are free. Dump this junk of thinking that you can earn your salvation. It is not possible. It is not what you do. It is what Jesus Christ has done. You can't add anything to it. You dare not take anything away from it. And the best gifts last. I'm not in a hurry to get there, but when I take my last breath on earth, I just step into the presence of the Lord who loved me and died for me and put the Holy Spirit in me to ensure that I will get to be with Jesus. The best gifts are personal. The best gifts are free. And the best gifts last. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.